Would you open them, please, to the New Testament book of John? John chapter 11. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 33. John 11 and 33. Okay, so it ain't working. We're good. We'll fix that right now. All right, John 11, beginning with verse 33. When you found it, if you would please stand for the reading of the Lord's Word. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Here's the title of my message this morning. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Bow your heads with me for a moment, please. Father, I thank you this morning. We already sense the presence of God in this place. Lord, it was the voice of your Holy Spirit that gave this word to me. It told me a number of weeks ago what I was to preach this morning, what I was to bring. I don't know, Lord, what they came in with this morning. And I don't know where they are in their walk with you. All I know is what you told me to preach. So I pray, I cannot do it unless you touch me. I cannot do it unless you anoint the words. I cannot do it unless you use me for your glory. And I'll trust that you will. You are faithful. And I give you honor for this in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. And amen, you may be seated. As you may have surmised already, this is the account of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And I'm going to be just as straight to the point today as I can be. I don't care what time it is. I don't care how long it takes. But for some time now, the Lord has been dealing with this preacher concerning some of the root causes, of which there are many, for the spiritual ineptitude and weakness that the church is in today. Now, it must be understood that there are any number of reasons, but we're going to focus on what the Lord has given me for you this morning. We're going to take a closer look at some of these passages. This scene begins at the beginning of chapter 11, where Jesus and his disciples are ministering. Everywhere they go, they're causing trouble. I look like that. I throw that in. I usually get in trouble. Causing trouble everywhere they go, and it was a good trouble, though. The power of God was on display. The Spirit of the Lord was operating through Jesus Christ the man. It's important to understand that. Everywhere he went, these massive crowds were following him. Many of them coming, hoping to see another sign, another miracle, another wonder. Something out of the ordinary every day. I have no doubt there were those that came in hopes that maybe this strange preacher would preach a word that would lift them up out of themselves and cause them to see things in a new and blinding light. Maybe perhaps they came with an ailment or an infirmity in their body, and they hoped that maybe somewhere in the course of things that would happen that this man Jesus would touch them and they would be made whole, like they have seen him do with the blind, like they've seen him do with the lame, like they've seen him do with the leper, like they've seen him do with those that were sick in body, like they've seen him do with those that were possessed of demons and devils, like they have seen him do on any number of occasions. Maybe today's my day. They would massively crowd around him as he brought the Word of God unto them. And I want to just throw this in here that you would never ever forget it. Do not ever take lightly the Word of God. Do not ever just dismiss it as just some little thing we've got to go and do. Well, we've got to go to church this week, you know. Feel like we've at least done something to appease God. I'm not out to appease Him. I could never appease Him. What we ought to be doing is we ought to set out to obey Him. Because we find that when we obey the Lord, His blessings and His favor follow in suit. I'm just going to let you marinate on that a little bit. Never dismiss His Word. Jesus and His disciples were just threatened with their lives of a stoning in the previous city that they were in, and they had traveled a ways down the road, and they were still close about when word came from a messenger. Mary and Martha had sent the servant of the house to go and find Jesus wherever he was, and it wouldn't take much to find him. Did you hear that? I said it wouldn't take much to find him. You follow the crowds, you follow the noise, you follow the tumult, you follow the presence of God that is being displayed. It won't take you much to find him, but go and find him and tell him that his friend Lazarus is sick and he's dying. And that he is to come at once. You know how we get. I don't know who this is for, but the Lord is going to deal with somebody today. The servant goes, he finds Jesus and his disciples. They're ministering, they're doing what they do day in and day out. And he brings word and he says, your friend Lazarus, whom you love, he is sick and he's dying. And the word from Mary and Martha, you know, your good friends over there in Bethany, they need your help and they need you to come at this instant. Jesus acknowledges that the message came, and yet he stood there a while. 2 days, as a matter of fact. This story, or this account, if you will, doesn't have as much to do with the raising of Lazarus as much as it does the faith that is supposed to be in the people of God. And so, I've come to talk to you this morning about your faith. You can be like Cece, who comes to me every time I preach and says, and I wish she wouldn't say it so loud, but she says, you've been looking in my windows. Don't say that. I'm not looking in anybody's windows. It's just the Spirit of the Lord knows the deep things of the heart of man, and He reveals them. And He knows what to say, and He knows what to bring out. Jesus is still standing in this place where they were ministering for a couple of days. Probably our biggest difficulty, and I've got two or three things to bring today, this being the first one. Probably our biggest difficulty in walking this Christian life is delays in answers to prayer. I'm going to say it again. Delays in answers to prayer. How many of you know this morning, one of the most frustrating things to me about serving God is when I have prayed my heart out, and I mean I have prayed it out, and I have wept all of my tears, and I have tarried before the Lord, and I've done all that I know to do as a Christian, to come before Lord and bring Him my burdens, and bring Him my cares, and bring Him my sufferings and my needs, and I've laid them out before Him, and there's no answer. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right, if I look at the floor or the ceiling, if I don't look you in the eye that way, you won't accuse me of looking in your windows. But frustrating as it is, there are delays that come as answers to prayers. And the Lord is not just saying no because He has delayed His answer. But anytime there is a delay in an answer to a prayer, you can bet on it, it's for one purpose and one purpose only. And Jesus would tell His disciples just before they left town. He said, it's time to go to Judea again and to wake up Lazarus from sleeping. You know, church people. Well, if he's sleeping, he does well. They didn't get it. Most of us don't get it. If he's sleeping, he does well. And so finally, the Lord, a little bit frustrated, finally just came right out and said, well, no, Lazarus is dead. Oh, now wait a minute. That changes everything. You see, it's one thing to say Lazarus is just resting or he's sleeping, then let's just leave him be. He's probably doing okay. It's another thing to say, no, it's the end of that story. Lazarus is dead. You see, the one power that the enemy uses more than any other to play on our minds is that finality of death. Death of a loved one. How about the death of a promise? How about the death of a prayer? How about that? Whatever it is that we were trying to obtain from God, there comes a point in a time in the natural where we think it's too late. Now, you and I sitting here this morning, we're not brave enough to say that God was late. But in our hearts, we think it. You know how we are when it comes to trying to get an answer to things from God. We say, well, you know, Lord, if you don't answer me by 3:30 on Thursday afternoon, well, then it's just going to be too late. How many have ever had God answer by 3:30 Thursday afternoon? Exactly. Nobody I've ever known has ever gotten that kind of an answer to a prayer. Sometimes God answers right away. Sometimes God takes His time. Because what the Lord is after is He's after your faith. How many of you know that any faith that you have has to be tried? Do you hear me? I said any faith that you have, according to the Word of God, it must be tried. You see, there are things that, I call them creeping things, that creep in the lower heart of man that are enemies of faith. Fear. Probably the most prominent one. Fear. 365 times in the Word of God it tells us to fear not. You realize that's one for every day of the year. Fear not. And the second most lethal weapon of the enemy that tries to undermine any faith that we have is doubt. You see, now Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they were all really good friends with Jesus. Close-knit. You would think, you know, they've got an inside track. Because of the way I preach sometimes and the way that the Lord uses me at times, there are people that will come to me and they will say things like, oh, you must have a great inside track with God. And no more of an inside track than you have. The only difference is the anointing. We'll talk about that some other time. Fear and doubt try to undermine, try to destroy any faith that your heart is trying to come up with. Now, let me explain to you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means the tangibleness of things that are hoped for. It is the evidence. of things you cannot see. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning is true faith in God has nothing to do with two things. It has nothing to do with wishful thinking. True faith in God has nothing to do with wishful thinking. True faith in God also has nothing to do with your feelings. How many of you know feelings will lie to you? I'm sure she's probably going to listen to this at some point today, but my mother and my sisters. Okay, women in general. Why I get in trouble all the time. Have the tendency to get all wound up in their feelings and their emotions. Tell me I'm lying. Don't tell me anything. We're okay. Some men do it too. They get all wound up in their feelings and their emotions. Faith has nothing to do with your feelings and your emotions. Because faith is tangible. I'm going to say it again. I said faith is tangible. Faith says, I believe God can fix this for me, even if I have no way in the world of knowing how He's going to do it. Faith says, no matter how I feel today, that elephant over there standing by that tree, faith says God can make that elephant fly. You say, that's a bit extreme. Yeah? So's faith. Faith is not conditional based upon our feelings or our emotions. I want to tell you one more thing that faith is not. Faith is not tied to your circumstances. You need to hear that again. Faith is not tied to your circumstances. Oh, but Brother Cooley, you don't know I prayed about this and things only got worse. And what? So your faith dropped along the way? The Bible says that we're not to walk by sight, but we're to walk by faith. And if your faith is not attached to your circumstances, and your faith is not dependent upon your feelings and your emotions, then no matter how much worse it gets, there should be no letdown in your faith. We're human beings. Letdowns happen. Mary and Martha sent word, Jesus, come quickly. Lazarus is dying. If we were to put it in today's lingo, here's how most of us would have said it. Lord, if you love us at all. Isn't that what we say? Lord, if you care anything about us at all, then you'll be here Thursday by 3:30. Because Lazarus is dying. Jesus intentionally delayed His appearance. He told His disciples, He said, I thank God that I wasn't there. Oh, you see, we would struggle with that. You know how, what do you mean you thank God you weren't here? You know how we would get a little bit indignant, wouldn't we? Go ahead and say amen. You know it's true. You'll feel better if you say it. You know you would. You know you'd get indignant if you ever heard the Lord say anything, I'm glad I wasn't there. What are you talking about? He said, for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. Because, and this is what the Lord said before He ever got to Bethany. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Doesn't mean that Lazarus wouldn't die, because by that time Lazarus was already dead. What He was saying was, this sickness is not yielded to the strength or the power of death. You need to understand that. We'll get into it here in a little bit more, but death is only final because we say it's final. We let what we see, we let the physicalness of the circumstance determine what our faith in God, in other words, our emotions and our feelings usually cap the ceiling to our faith. But the Lord is demonstrating something here that we as a church today should never ever forget. That faith has nothing to do with the ceiling that we capped it with and the power that death has in natural things. Amen. Jesus and His disciples, they're headed down the road now. They're going to go, I don't know what His disciples were thinking. What do you mean He's dead? You just said a moment ago that we were going to go wake up Lazarus from sleep, and now you're telling us he's dead. Well, you're going to raise him from the dead, and you know how we start thinking. Sure. Mm-hmm. Right. I want to see this. And they're going down the road, and, you know, time has a way of embellishing things, namely our doubts and our fears. And they're headed down the road, and they haven't even come to the city of Bethany yet. Messengers had gone ahead and told Martha and Mary that Jesus was coming. And the reaction is starkly different than it was when they sent the messenger. Brother Cole, I thought you said this had something to do with the ineptitude and the spiritual weakness of the church today. Oh, it does. You see, we are okay with God as long as we're in the heat of having a need that we need God to answer. But when the timetable has passed in our minds, for God to do what we wanted God to do, we feel like it's too late. Prayers that go unanswered, we feel like it's been too late. And like our friend Lazarus, the things that we were trying to believe God for, we have already let them die. And we have buried them in a cave, like Lazarus was buried in a cave, and we have rolled a stone in front of it. But what we don't realize is when we take the promises and we take the things that we have needed from God and the answers that we needed from God, and even though the answer has been delayed and it hasn't come in the time that we thought it should come, we have taken that thing and we let it die, and we put it in a cave, and we put it in a burial place, and oddly enough, we seal it. And we think, somehow I'm going to move on, but in the process of trying to move on, you've actually taken a couple of steps back because the Lord didn't come at Thursday afternoon at 3:30. And so you're going to be a little less inclined to believe God for the next big thing that comes into your life, because after all, you have unfinished business that is still laying in a tomb over there. And every time something goes unanswered or delayed to you, you take a step back. And before long, the distance between you and the Lord has become so great that spiritually you have become inept. And you have become so weak. And as I look at the church world today, I see just that. People that were not willing to pay the price to tarry before the Lord until the Lord decided it was time to answer. Of people that have their own cemeteries. Did you know that? How many things lay in the cemetery? How many unanswered prayers? How many promises that you thought got left by the wayside? How many times that God didn't respond in the way that you thought He would respond, and in the time that you thought He should respond, and you've got it in a grave out there in your little pet cemetery there behind your living. Jesus is still the answer. And He's coming down the road, and He's not even to the city yet, and Martha lays down everything. I want to show you a couple things here. Martha laid down everything in the house the moment she heard Jesus was coming. You don't know it, but that's a spark of hope. Because you see, Mary didn't move a muscle. Let me explain that. The Bible even says it of Mary. She's the one that wept tears at the feet of Jesus and washed His feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You don't understand. She has had intimate encounters with the Lord that would forever reshape her life. But because of a delayed answer to prayer, she backs off from it. And now this one who wept at His feet and dried Him with her hair no longer even wants to get out of the house. It's probably why we have so many empty chairs. The delay and we step back. The delay and we step back, and before long there's a gulf. Martha comes there to where Jesus is. And the first thing out of her mouth, you can read it there for yourselves. Lord, if You had been here, and I can just see Martha probably, never mind, don't say that. Probably like a lot of, if You had been here, my brother would not be dead. But you weren't here. You can hear it in Martha's voice. It's just pages on paper, but we can feel it in Martha's. Didn't even wait for him to get to the house. Met him out on the road. Where were you? Why weren't you here? You had been here. You see, I had faith in you as long as you would have gotten here by time. Isn't that generous of us? I had faith in you as long as you got here by the time I thought you needed to get here by. But you're too late and he's dead, and he's been dead 4 days. Jesus answered and said, Martha, let me tell you, this is how God answers every one of us when we come complaining because our prayers have gone unanswered and they have been delayed. Jesus said to her, Martha, your brother's going to rise again. You see, the answer is always in what Jesus says to us. Your brother's going to rise again. Oh, we placate it, you know, because in our minds it's still too late and he's still dead and buried. Oh, I know, Lord, I know. I've heard you teach. And I know that in the last day, my brother's going to raise when it's time for the graves to burst open and give up their dead. And I know he's going to stand in his lot at the end of his days. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. But her faith had still died. Because it was still in the grave. She still wasn't believing. Jesus said, I don't think you understand, Martha. I am. That rings in my mind because it was when Moses came before the burning bush. And he said, Lord, who do I tell them that you are? And God spoke to him and said, I am. Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who is in Christ, though he were dead, he was talking about Lazarus, yet shall he live. Martha gets a little bit excited, not knowing what to think, sends word to Mary. Mary, come on, get yourself out of the house. Did you notice Jesus didn't move from where he was? He stayed right where he was, right where Martha met him on the road. And he stayed there, and pretty soon Mary came out. And you'd have thought they'd have had a powwow in the house before they ever got to where Jesus was. Because the first thing out of Mary's mouth is the same thing Martha said. Lord, had you been here on time, Lazarus would not have died. All of a sudden, we've got the second thing I want to talk about today. Faith's confrontation. How many of you know that God is going to confront your faith? Or the lack thereof? Mary and Martha there, they're wallowing in their own mire like pigs do in the mud. They're wallowing in their own mire, their own stench, their own filth. But to Mary and Martha, it's their own death. It's their own disappointment. It's their own unanswered prayers. It's their own unanswered promises. Things that they needed God to do and God just didn't do them in their minds in the right time. And they consider it dead and it's been in the grave. And how many of you know that when something's been in the grave long enough, it begins to stink? Hear these words. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, take me to the place where you laid him. If you think you're walking out of this service this morning and you're still going to have your graves unconfronted, I'm here to tell you this morning the Lord has come to confront your faith. Jesus' words is, take me to where you laid him. Take me to the place. Where you decided I could no longer help. I feel the Holy Spirit all of a sudden. Take me to the place where you gave up on me. Take me to where your promise died. Take me to that foul place where your unanswered prayer resides. Notice his words, take me to the place. As if he didn't know where it was. You got to take him there. Come in and out of these services all you want to, but until you take the Lord where your graves are, then your faith is indeed dead. But if for a moment you'll believe God this morning and take him to the grave where your unanswered prayer lies. Martha said, Lord, you don't understand. Lazarus has been dead 4 days already, and it stinks by now. Anywhere where fear and doubt is allowed to overtake faith, it stinks. It stinks. Anywhere where you gave up on God and his ability and his power to help you in your time of need, it stinks. It stinks, and we don't want anybody to go near it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to share with our brothers and sisters about it. It's an awful place. And we've rolled this massive stone in front of it to seal it. As if to say nobody's going to get in there. But Jesus is saying to you this morning, take me to the place. Take me to where you decided I couldn't help you anymore. Take me to where you laid down your faith. That's how important it is to the Lord. That's right, your faith is important to God. Take me to the place. And I'm sure they were slow walking. You know how we are when the Lord's confronting us. We don't quite want to get there so quick. We drag our feet spiritually. And they get in front of the tomb. They get in front of the tomb, and the cemetery's filled with church people. The scripture says that Jesus was disturbed inside. There was a spiritual upheaval going on inside the Lord because of the lack of faith. And he gets over in front of the graves and the tombs, and the Bible says, the shortest verse in all of the Bible, Jesus wept. And the church people standing by said, oh, how he loved his friend. We just don't get it. Because then the truth of their faith came out. Couldn't the one that opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't the one that healed lepers, couldn't the one that raised the sick from their beds, you would think he loved his friend enough that he would have kept him from dying. Isn't that how we usually say it? If God would have loved me enough, he would have answered that for me. And it was breaking the heart of Jesus because they had no faith. But then Jesus stood up. And the Bible says he cried aloud. And he said, Lazarus! What do you hear in your ear this morning? What death of promise? What death of unanswered prayer? What death of the Lord not doing what you thought he should do when you thought it? What name is that that you have this morning? And what name do you hear coming out of the mouth of the Lord as he stood there in front of the graves? He said, Lazarus! The Lord is here this morning and He's calling out to your grave. And He's calling it out by name. I hear you, Lord. He's calling it out by name. Frustration of unanswered prayers. And He's calling it out by name. Marriages that have not been fixed the way you wanted them to be fixed, when you wanted them to be fixed. He's calling them out by name. Relationships that have gone awry and have come off the tracks. And it needs to be said. He's calling it out by name this morning. He's standing in front of the grave. And He's saying, whatever it is, whatever you feel I failed you at, whatever you feel I didn't answer you at, I'm standing at the mouth of your grave this morning and I'm calling it out by name. Lazarus! Bankruptcy! Marriage problems! Family problems! Sickness, disease! Whatever it is, He's standing this morning and He's calling it out by name. But He's talking to you and He wants you to take Him to that place. He stands up. He tells them. Read the words. It's in Elizabethan English, so it's not quite what He was saying. He said, take ye away the stone. In today's English, it would be, you take away the stone. Did you hear me? You take away the stone. Well, what do you mean? Why a big stone? You put it there. You take away the stone. No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to roll that stone. I don't want to get into all that stuff again. Pastor, you don't understand. I don't want to conjure up all those feelings and emotions again. God bless your heart. Jesus said, take away the stone. You take away the stone. You buried it. You take it away. And expose it. It wasn't the stinky body of Lazarus that they were exposing. They were exposing their own doubt. They were exposing their own fears. They were exposing their own lack of faith that they had let rot in a tomb. And Jesus said, you take away the stone and expose it to me. Why? Because the words of Jesus don't mind going in where it stinks. His words don't mind going in where there's all that hurt. His words don't mind going in there where you lost your faith. His words don't mind. And He just simply said to Lazarus, come forth. One theologian said, had He not called Lazarus by name, the power in the words of the Lord would have caused every tomb in that hillside to come forth. But He's not just being a general God this morning. He's being specific with you. And He's calling out your problem. And He's calling out your deficiency. And He's calling out your lack of faith. And He said, Lazarus, come forth. Mary and Martha standing right there. Oh, no, don't do it. No, you don't understand. Lazarus, come forth. This is what the Lord gave me to tell you this morning. Jesus is calling marriages to come forth. Family relationships. He's calling them to come forth. Sickness, disease, unanswered prayers. He's calling them right now to come forth. John, when he was preaching about Jesus, said, and the power of God was present to heal them.
has come by North Valley Assembly this morning to call out your lack of faith, to call out your death, to call out your unanswered prayers. Those moments where fear and doubt killed your faith. Hearing the Word of God as all things must. You see, it's not optional. Lazarus had no option. You're not getting it. Your financial troubles have no option. Your marriage difficulties have no option. Your relationships have no option. When Jesus speaks the word, they must respond. No. Your faith isn't getting there yet. When Jesus speaks the word, Lazarus come forth, and he calls it forth. Lazarus had to respond. Lazarus had to respond. Lazarus still bound in his grave clothes, and he comes to the mouth of the grave and everybody's gasping. Can you believe it? What is that we're looking at? And just in case you need a closer look, Jesus then spoke to them standing around, said, "Now loose him and let him go." No, you see, when the Lord heals, he does a complete job. No, you're not hearing me. When he redeems, he does a complete job. When he saves, he does a complete job. When he fills, he does a complete job. I'm not saying it the way I want it. When he comes to the mouth of your grave, whatever promise is dead and buried in that grave, whatever unanswered prayer is dead and buried in that grave, when the Lord comes forth and he speaks to that thing and it comes out of that tomb, the Lord intends to do a complete job. I've come too far to believe any other way. So I might as well take the plunge. How many of you sitting here this morning need to take the plunge? You know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know your set of circumstances. I don't know your personal interactions with God or the lack thereof, but God knows all about it, and he sent me here this morning with this word for you. And if you'll take the Lord to the place where you laid it down. He is resurrection and the life. And he will resurrect your faith. Dude, hear me. He will resurrect your faith. He'll resurrect your promise. He'll resurrect your bank account. He'll resurrect your marriage. He'll resurrect your family relationships. He'll resurrect anything that you dare let die and buried in that tomb. And if you'll take him there, and if you'll take the stone away and expose it to the power of God, then the words of Christ himself will bring that thing back to life, and you can walk in newness of life. And not be afraid for terrible things to take place and you thinking it's going to defeat you. Because when the Lord resurrects it, it comes to live. You know, Lazarus didn't die again until it was just his time. You know what that means? It means whatever it is that you buried in there is going to live again until God says it's time. There's power in his word this morning. Aren't you getting tired of walking around with that? Look at it. Aren't you getting tired? The old bunch of people with gravel breath. Gravel breath. You know what gravel breath is? I've told you before. That's where your bottom lip drags so low you're picking up all the gravel. Aren't you tired of walking around like that? Aren't you tired of walking around defeated? Aren't you tired of walking around wondering if the next problem that crops up is going to be your undoing? Aren't you tired of wondering if the next trick the devil pulls is going to be the one that casts you into darkness? The Lord did not intend us to walk in that kind of a life.
Nor did he allow Mary and Martha to live in that kind of faithlessness. He was a friend, and a friend indeed. And that day, he changed in one moment's time. That's right, you heard me. One moment's time, he changed their whole life around. Never again do you hear of Mary and Martha not trusting the Lord. Never again do you hear of a situation so dark where they didn't believe that God could do anything. Did you hear me? Wouldn't you like to walk around like that, where your faith felt so strong that you felt like there wasn't anything that could happen to you that God didn't absolutely have it in absolute control? He wants you to walk that way this morning. Not next month, not next, this morning. He's standing at your grave this morning. Will you let him? Will you take him to the place? And will you roll the stone away? And then will you loose Lazarus and let him go? The choice is yours. But once you make that choice, then the results are God's. Oh, you didn't hear me. Once you make the choice that you're going to do that, you see, the results of Lazarus coming out of the grave, that wasn't in Mary or Martha's control. Do you hear me? It was in God's control. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the outcome of whatever it is that you have buried in that grave is not under your control. See, it was under your control when you put it in the grave. But when God calls it forth like He's doing this morning, it's no longer under your control, it's under His. Yeah. You need to hear that. We are such control freaks. And I know I've told you that before. You calling us names? Yeah. Admit the truth. We're all control freaks. We want to control everything. But the beauty of serving God is that we don't have to control anything. He controls it all. Will you stand to your feet this morning? I don't know if it's early or late. I don't really care. We used to sing a chorus all the time when I was growing up in Pentecost as a kid. Don't worry about playing it, Brother Tim. I'm not sure that you know it. The name of the chorus is, "My God can do anything, 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 my God. Can do anything. He made this earth and all its fullness, and all that time shall bring. My God can do anything." Oh, somebody remembers. I wish you'd tell your heart. My God can do anything. And I know that thing is coming up in your mind right now. Yes, God can fix it. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how long you've had it in a grave. God can fix it. Anything. He made this world and all its fullness. Jeremy told you about it this morning when he opened up. I had no idea what he was going to say. He had no idea what I was going to say. He made this world and all its fullness, and all that time shall bring. But it doesn't matter, because my God can do anything. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. I want to sing it one more time, then I'm going to ask you to pray with me. My God can do anything, anything, anything. My God can do anything. He made this world and all its fullness, and all that time shall bring. My God, He can do anything. I feel that this morning. Hallelujah. Again, my God can do anything. Tell Him, anything, anything. My God can do anything. Did you hear me, devil? Hallelujah. He made this world and all its fullness, and all that time shall bring. Oh my God, He can do anything. Every head bowed, please. You're here this morning. Pastor, I didn't know. I don't think I expected that. Well, see, the Lord knew what you needed before you got here. And He's standing in the place where you meet with Him. And He's bidding you, take me. Take me to where you laid Him. And He's saying, roll away the stone. And then loose Him and let Him go. Father, we're standing here this morning. I don't know that we need to single out anybody. I just believe it's everybody, Lord, that You brought this word to this morning because You want to help. You brought this word because You want to open their graves. You brought this word because You want to resurrect their faith in Your, not just your ability to do what they need, but Your willingness to do what they need. Martha believed in Your ability, but she didn't believe in Your willingness. But today, You've come so that we can believe not only in Your ability, but in Your willingness to help us in our time of need. Now we stand here. We are Your sons and we are Your daughters. And Father, You have no grandchildren. You don't just dote upon them and send them along their merry way, but You are a Father. You have care and responsibility with us. We are Your children. And many of our hillsides are filled with graves. Graves of unanswered prayers. Graves of promises that have died. Graves of situations that we let kill our faith and we buried it in a grave. But we've come this morning at Your behest. And we're going to take You to the place. And we're going to roll away the stone. We're going to roll away the stone and we're going to let it come forth. And then by Your word, healing is going to come to our house. I feel the Holy Spirit. Healing is going to come to our house. Restoration. Restoration's coming to our house. Renewal is coming to our house. We're going to live again. We're going to be able to trust God. We're going to be able to believe Him for the impossible because our God can do anything. He can do anything. Now, Holy Spirit, as You, only You can, deal with him. And make it settled today. Lazarus is going to live. Lazarus will live. We will not leave him in a grave any longer because he's going to live. And their issues and their problems are going to live again because the giver of life has come. Jesus, the giver of life, has come. And he's calling you out. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. And amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? I know it's unusual, but everyone that's standing here this morning, I know you probably got things planned, but you know me, I don't care what you have planned. The Lord has spoken to this preacher. I'm going to say it again. God has spoken to this preacher. And I've got a message for you tonight that you need to be here to hear. I want to say it again. I have heard from the Lord, and I have a message tonight that you need to be here to hear. If you can at all make it, make it. The word of the Lord will not be disappointing. One more time, if you will bow your heads, we'll dismiss in a word of prayer. Father, this is the day that the Lord has made. I don't know anybody else, but I can truly say I have encountered you here this morning. We have sensed your presence. As we worshiped, as we praised, we could sense your presence. I could feel your power as the Word of God was coming forth and you were dealing with people. I could feel it, Lord. You kept your end of the bargain. You're faithful. And I pray that as we leave this place, that your Holy Spirit will go with us and go before us whatever we walk into. Because today we've opened the grave and we've rolled back the stone and we're going to let it live. We're going to trust you again. We're going to believe you again according to your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And again, everyone said amen. And amen. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. We will see you this evening.